Hi, everybody. I am Dr. Jacqueline Mack Harris.
And I'm Dr. Alice Benton.
And today we are talking about doing the hard thing first. Alice, we were just talking and you thought of some of the hard things that people deal with that we hear regularly. What were some of those?
Oh, common things that we put off. I know I should see a clinician, but it just takes too much work to find a good one, and it didn't go well the last time. Or I know I should get that medical evaluation. I should get back on medication. It helped me before, but it just takes too much time and energy. Or I know I should confess. There's a rupture in relationship I should repair. Or I'm mad about something and I should speak up. But I'm avoiding all of that.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm learning that that hard thing's still going to be there after I do all the little easy things. Because my tendency is to, well, I'll do this and I'll take care of that, or I'll make this call, or I'll look at that, or I'll make this list. I'm a researcher. And so it could take me a long time to get to the hard thing because I'm researching it and I get stuck down these rabbit trails. But it's still going to be there. That hard thing, the budget still needs to be done. That first appointment to the therapist needs to be made. That conversation with my husband needs to happen. Maybe that conversation with somebody that you're in leadership over needs to happen. And it's going to be there waiting for you when you do it, while you're doing all the little small things that are really just a way of distracting or avoiding the difficult task.
So it helps to identify what emotion is holding us back from taking this next looming step that we know we should. And I'd say it's often fear. And it could also be a sense of powerlessness or hopelessness that I don't know if I have the skills or knowledge or ability to take this next step. And usually we need other people to come in to help us if we can't make ourselves do it on our own.
Yeah. And even asking for help can be the hard next thing. Right? You might have to reach out, especially as an emotional avoider. I do not want to ask for help, which is why some of these things end up getting pushed off, because you need someone to do it with you, or you need someone to teach you how to, or to give you some type of information. And also, I think that sometimes one of the things that prevents us from doing it is shame. Because if I'm not good at it, I generally won't do it. And so I am learning that if God has called me to it, he's going to equip me for it. Now, I might not yet know that I'm equipped. I might have to wade through some things before I get to all of my equipment, all of my tools. But he's called me to this thing. He's placed this on my heart. He's put this desire in my heart. He's going to make me capable of accomplishing it, or put the people in my life who will help me accomplish it. I just have to be willing. And so I'm learning today even to do the hard thing. Just do it, whatever it is. If it is make that call, make that call. There are people in my life who I think about every day. They come up, they pop, nieces, nephews, aunties, grandmother, cousins pop up into my mind every day. I don't call. So that's something that I've been thinking about, praying about, dreaming even about. And so I have to make the call. And what I do is I put it on my calendar. So if I start to have a thought, call your sister, and it's, you know, 11:30 at night, I'm about to crawl into bed and I'm praying and those people come up, I will put it on my calendar. Call your sister tomorrow at 2:00, because I schedule appointments for everybody else. So why not for myself and for my family?
And there are a couple of techniques and strategies that we both have applied personally and professionally. Another one is to admit to God or to another human being that this is an area where we're not making enough progress. And sometimes when we tell God, we might even have to start with, I don't even want to invite you into this issue yet, Lord, because I'm not done procrastinating. I'm too afraid. I feel too ill-equipped to be able to handle it. But even if we can make that admission to God or another human being, that's starts us on the path of accessing humility, grace, and strength to be able to move forward. Then if we can get to, all right, God, now you can help me, but please don't help me too quickly. Then God responds to those calls, and he is cautious about what we're able to handle. And so he'll either bring the right people along, or he'll give us the grace to be able to manage it.
Absolutely. And we get to look back in our rearview mirror and see this. And so when you have that type of experience where you did the hard thing, God showed up, he carried you through, you got it done, hold on to that. Find a place inside of your heart to keep that memory, because that's evidence for the next time. Because we need to practice. We need practice of doing the hard thing first and seeing it work, getting the win, so that we're confident to continue to live that way. And now we've overcome this habit of procrastinating. Mm-hmm.
Reminiscing about our successes can generate current and future success. That's a powerful technique. We may also need people who are more disciplined in the area in which we're struggling to come around us, to hold us accountable, to challenge us, to motivate us. And you know about some interesting groups that are available to do that, especially when it comes to setting timing to be able to work on a tough task.
Yeah. There are some groups that you can find online where they come together and work. Like, say you have ADHD, sometimes it's hard to stay focused. And so they come together and everyone agrees that we'll work on our task and we'll check in ever so often. And so you can find a partner to what we call in the ADD world, body double, to partner with you to get a task done. Whether that is, I need to clean out my closet and give some things away, and so maybe I'm going to invite one of my sisters over to sit with me in that, or whether we find an organization that this is all that they do, is they set up a calendar for people who want to join this group at different times throughout the day. They do them 24 hours a day. I've seen them running at midnight, and I've seen them running at 6 a.m. Mm-hmm. And you have some companionship mm-hmm. as you're working through whatever your hard thing is. Maybe you're writing a business plan. Maybe God's called you to write a book. Maybe God's called you to preach and you're working on a sermon, or you're in school and you have a big project due, a dissertation. Get with a team of people, get with someone else who can partner with you as you move through the hard thing. And then you get this new evidence. And now you can reminisce on that good, positive, winning experience so that you can continue to do that in the future. And it teaches your brain a new pattern of accomplishing tasks. I can start on something and I can work on it for about 5 minutes. And then I can take a break and then I can come back to it. Well, my brain is okay with me doing anything for 5 minutes. But once I get into it, I might find that I did it for 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. And the next time I set my timer for 15 minutes, I might want to go for 20 or 30. Yes. And so you grow this new skill.
Yes. There's a saying, suit up and show up in recovery, that when you don't feel like doing it, if you get started for that brief period of time, your 5 minutes or your 15 minutes, the motivation meets us when we start the action. Mm-hmm. Not always, but many times that is how it works. If I just get going, then the flow comes and I'm able to go longer than I thought I would.
I remember being on the dance team in school. And one of the things the dance teacher said was, fake it till you make it. Mm-hmm. And so even if I didn't have the steps at first, if I kept moving, my body would catch up. And then it would be like, oh, the choreography is coming back to me. I can do this. And so sometimes you just have to get your feet moving. When I work with people who are depressed and they can't get out of bed, I will tell them, just do the next thing. If all that is getting out of bed and brushing your teeth, get out of bed, brush your teeth, go lay back down. If all that is changing the sheets on the bed because you've been in the same bed for 3 days, get up and change the sheets. Making a phone call, answering a phone call. If you can only do one thing, do that next thing, because it's movement in a different direction mm-hmm. from where you're stuck.
Mm-hmm. We can also think about the tomorrow me. Or the future me. Will the tomorrow me be grateful if the today me enters into this difficulty that I want to avoid? Because avoidance is often about soothing ourselves and staying with what we think is comfortable at the time. I can avoid the tough conversation, the thing that I'm afraid of. I can put that off. But what will the tomorrow me want the today me to have done? And that's usually enter the difficult thing.
Yes, exactly. Just imagine you've got a flight to catch on Tuesday morning, but on Sunday after church, you just want to take a nap, but you really need to pack because you have a full day of work on Monday. If you don't pack on Sunday afternoon, you're going to have to pack when you get off from work on Monday evening for this early flight on Tuesday. your Tuesday self is going to love you if you packed as your Sunday self.
It can also be helpful to think about how fleeting time is. So Psalm 39, 4 through 7, Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered, how fleeting my life is. And I think this is helpful to consider not only that our time has an end date to it, and we never know when that will come. What do we want to accomplish in our life before we're called to heaven? And also that the people around us, their time in our lives is limited. I like to think about how many Saturdays I have left with my children while they're still under 18. My oldest is 12. And I only have around 300 Saturdays left with him before he's 18 and able to leave the home. And so those times that he wants me to engage with him, he wants me to play with him, he wants my help, and I'm just not feeling it. I got so many other very important things that I'm off doing, but my time with him is fleeting. It's limited. So make the most of the time that I have now.
Yeah, I love that. I'm so glad you shared that, because I didn't have that little nugget when I was raising my kids. And I spent a lot of time with them. One of my favorite things about parenting was spending time with them. But now I'm a grandparent and it's different. It's not built in. So I have to really be intentional about making time to spend with my grandkids. They were living with me for a while and now they're in their own place. Mm-hmm. And so I get to be intentional. And so I'm going to be thinking about that, like, how much time do I have before they're grown and making families or off in college and doing life? I want to get the most out of this time, and I don't want to procrastinate and wait until, one, they're too old for me to even start to build relationship with mm-hmm. them, because they've felt so missed and not seen. But two, that, you know, I don't get to do the little ballet recitals. You know, they'll be 15, and that's going to look a lot different than when you're 7 and when you're 8. So it's been really sweet to have them in my life. And so thank you for sharing that, because mm-hmm. I find that really helpful. That's encouraging. And I'm going to take that. I'm going to count the Saturdays I have left mm-hmm. with my grandkids. Get up at 8 o'clock and be at the soccer field and be there for the soccer game and watch him be a goalie. Watch my grandson be a goalie, which I have been doing and I've really been enjoying. So I think that that's why that struck me so much. It's like, yes, I am not a morning person. I like to sleep in on Saturdays. But if his game is 8 at 8, and I can go, I'm going to be there, because I don't have that much time left with them.
So many of these things that we're talking about that are difficult for us to enter into, they're not only the difficult thing, but they're the right thing. And the Lord warns us that his way is the narrow path with the narrow gate, and that most of us will end up taking the broad path that's easy, that's coasting downhill, because it is more comfortable. But God's way is the hard way, but it's also the one that leads to eternal life. The easy way, the avoidant way, eventually leads to destruction, even though it feels more comfortable at the time.
Absolutely. And so we're hoping that this encourages you to know that you can do the hard thing first. You can alleviate some suffering for yourself, for your future self, by doing so, and that you can lean on other people to help you do that by asking for accountability, by finding groups that can come together and partner with you to help you get tasks done while they're getting tasks done, by thinking about the time we have left here and how we want to spend that, and that we want to be found doing good. And so I just encourage you to do the hard thing first and reap the benefits of that.
And let us equip you here at New Life, because we can connect you with people and groups that will support you, that will come alongside you. This is why the Bible also says that two are better than one, because when one falls down and when one has fallen behind, then the other one helps him up and helps him to keep going. And so please contact us here at New Life so we can get you connected with the help you need to be able to do the difficult thing.